in association with Newsarama. Welcome back to Word Balloon, the comic book conversation show. This is John Suntress. Today we talk to Brent Schoonover, the Minnesota artist responsible for the art chores on the miniseries Horrorwood from Ape Entertainment, now available in collected trade. We also talk about Schoonover's latest project, an original graphic novel, Astronaut Dad, from Silent Devil, and written by David Hopkins. This episode of Word Balloon is sponsored by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com. InStock Trades offers a huge selection of trade paperbacks, hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at up to 35% off, with orders over $50 receiving free shipping. And don't forget to visit InStock Trades' sister site, Discount Comic Book Service, at DCBService.com for all your pre-order needs. Major publishers are 40% off, and monthly specials are 45 to 75% off every month. In fact, you can pick up Astronaut Dad, coming out in November, at DCBService.com for only $4.17. For more deals, visit InStockTrades.com and DCBService.com. Our conversation begins with Brent talking about how he got into comics.
Oh, man, when I was a kid, I just, my dad, he didn't draw a lot, but he every now and then, like when we would sit down and stuff like that, do stuff, he would always kind of doodle, and I was like, that's pretty cool. And I think the big thing for me was we took a trip to South Dakota when I was really young, and we went to Wall Drug, and we realized there's nothing in Wall Drug worth your time. So my dad bought me a bunch of comics to read on the way home, and man, they just blew my mind. So comics really were the first thing that really kind of got me drawing.
Which comics?
Oh, the first comic I ever got was an Incredible Hulk comic. It was Peter David one with Mr. Fix-It, and he was in Vegas, and Spider-Man showed up. So it was like my two favorite comic book characters still to this day, like all in one issue. And then there's another issue of West Coast Avengers that had this really cool Doctor Doom cover. And I still, to this day, I've got them found in my basement somewhere. But the cool thing was that there was a guy, Purvis, was the guy who drew the book with Peter David on the Hulk. And I found out like years later that an art director I work with up in the cities, that was his roommate in college. And he used to draw the Incredible Hulk while he was in college. So
wow.
It kind of came full circle. That was really cool. So
I know about your love for the Hulk because you would send me copies of Horrorwood, and I couldn't throw away one of the envelopes because right on there, man, is this great, portrait of the Hulk, and I'm like, oh my God, that's fantastic. So yeah, I've got that in my sketch collection as well. And
cool.
I know as well you were able to do the Hulk for the Marvel Masterpiece trading cards.
Yeah, I was. Up here in the cities, we have a big show called the FallCon every October, and there's a lot of people that come to the show that do a lot of the sketch card art that's kind of in a lot of the packs and stuff that are going on these days with the Marvel and DC lines, and I always kind of wanted to get into that. I'm like, that's kind of cool, and one of my friends kind of pointed me in the right direction to the Upper Deck Company, and I sent them some samples of stuff, and they were like, oh, yeah, we'd love to have you do some, and they're like, how many do you want to do? And I was like, 100? And they're like, yeah, sure, we got people doing like 500 of them, and it's just insane, but yeah, I really just had a blast doing them. I kind of made this rule. I didn't want to do anything outside of characters created in the 1960s. I wanted to keep it kind of in that infancy of the Marvel Universe. So I tried to keep them kind of what they looked like when they first appeared, too. So those should be out in, I think, early November. So hopefully I'll never see them again because they're going to be inserted into packs randomly, but I scanned every one of them in. So at least I've got those to remember them and stuff like that. So hopefully someone will end up emailing me saying that they got one of mine or something like that.
Well, and the images are on your website, brettschoonover.com.
Yeah, I'm going to keep posting them as it gets closer. I can't do too much yet. They don't want to, give them all away yet. But once the sets are released, they said you can show as many as you want. So
wow, so yeah, how many more? Because you've got six up here. How many did you do, literally?
I did do 100.
Oh, so, my God, okay.
I got them, and I had about a 3-week turnaround on those. And I was like, well, okay, that's a couple a day. If I get up early and crank out 5 a day or something like that, it would work out. But they actually showed up late, and I was getting ready to go to a family event down in Texas or something. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be gone for a week. And I got back, so I had less than 2 weeks to turn around and do them. So I was cranking out like 10 to 15 of those a day. And, not a bad way to spend your day, but some of them I felt were a little rushed and a little bumped. But I was pretty happy with the way they turned out.
The six that I see look fantastic. You got a great Hulk. I love the Don Heck-looking Iron Man with the original gray armor. I mean, it's that looks outstanding. And the Ringmaster looks great, battling Murdoch, Wong, and the Lizard. So those are the first six images people can check out at your website. They're great, man. You definitely capture that 60s Marvel Age feel.
Well, thanks, man. That was my whole goal, is just kind of, you know, Googling characters and checking out kind of like their first appearance and stuff. I own a lot of old stuff, too. Never really got a really good... I did a card of the Enforcers, the old Spider-Man villains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of hard to find a good shot of all three of those together. But, it was a blast. It was just, you know, to do it. And hopefully they'll have me back again for the next one they do.
Well, was Horrorwood your first professional job, or was there something before that?
Pretty much. At first, when I graduated in 2002, I went to the Minneapolis College of Art and Design up here in the Twin Cities, mm-hmm. and I graduated, and we had decided to start working on a book shortly after that. So it was early 2002 we first started working on Horrorwood, and then I started submitting some pages after they had gotten done to companies just to kind of check it out, and getting rejections left and right and stuff like that, like everybody usually does. And Viper Comics was really nice and encouraging, and they had, you know, had wanted me to do some sample pages of a project that they had in mind, and I did it, and didn't end up getting published, didn't go anywhere, but they did give me an opportunity to do an 8-page story in their Dead at 17. They do like an anthology called Rough Cut with that.
Mm-hmm.
It was property he was really taking off, so they were just kind of doing some spin-off stuff. So that was my first published thing that I ever went to a comic book store and picked up on my own, was Dead at 17 Rough Cut Volume 2. And then that was the only thing after that. Then Horrorwood came out about a year later. So, very limited experience, I guess. But I was actually really pleased to actually have that first experience with something kind of small that wasn't my own, just because it kind of took a little bit of more pressure off that first thing you're ever going to, you know, see in a comic book store. And then you can see it, what it looks like, and kind of take that in. And I don't know, I think after you see that first time, you kind of can tell what it's going to look like, and corrections that you may not have noticed beforehand.
Okay. What was Horrorwood originally part of Speakeasy, and then it went to Ape, or was it always an Ape book?
No, it was never part of the Speakeasy line. Actually, in 2005, I went out to San Diego for the first time, and I had the book with me, and I was just trying to, you know, get it in hands of publishers and stuff like that. And I actually did show it to Speakeasy, and a couple of the people did seem kind of interested, but I left them some samples, and then I went to the Ape booth about a day later, and Ape guys pretty much offered us a spot right then and there, and I was just like, this is too good. And, you know, Brent and David, the guys who run Ape, are really great guys, and it just seemed kind of genuine and for real. So I kind of called Brandon up, the writer of the book, and sold him. I think we got the right guys right here. So we actually never were with anybody else. We were always with Ape, but
okay.
It had been kind of floating around there. So, and then shortly after that, that's when the Black Coat and Athena Voltaire came in, and, you know, those were the Speakeasy guys. So we kind of all hit at the same time.
It's one of my favorites of the independent publishers, because I like the diversity, and I really do like all the genres that these guys hit, and, you know, Horrorwood, and as you say, Athena Voltaire as well, and the Black Coat.
Absolutely. I think they know that their key mindset for everything is not to flood the market, and that's not just with books, but also with the same type of books. That's what I've always picked up from them, is that, you know, they'll do a book like The Black Coat, but then they're going to turn around and do a book like The Bizarre New World or White Picket Fences,
which are completely
different. And, you know, but somehow, I think it's if you got the same taste, you know, it's weird. I find myself, even if I wasn't, you know, affiliated with them, I would still be picking those books up, is what I, you know, I always say. And I think I can't say that about too many other comic book companies.
I understand. What for people who haven't read, the trade is out for Horrorwood, or it looks like it's out. I saw the cover for it. Tell people about Horrorwood and what the book is about.
Horrorwood is a 1950s murder mystery with four out-of-work Hollywood types. We have a B-movie actress, we have a stuntman, we have a magician, and we have a special effects artist. And they kind of band together to stop a cult that is trying to infest Hollywood. It's kind of like it's only in black, white, and red, the colors. And, mm-hmm. It's just kind of a fun ode to the 50s B-movies, and the way I like to sum it up, I guess, when people stop by the booth at the conventions, is it kind of has the dynamic of the Fantastic Four meets Cold. double check the Night Stalker.
Well, and I also, especially with one of the protagonists, I always felt that you had kind of a Dick Sprang, Bruce Wayne stuff that Dick Sprang would do in your art. That's what I saw. I don't know if you were ever a fan of those 1950s Batman stories.
I was. When I was a kid, my dad brought home a box of comics that were, I think, family members who just had them, and they were all 70s stuff, and it was a lot of Archie stuff, but in there was this Batman compilation, and I've never seen anything like it. It was kind of digest-sized, but it was just under the size of a phone book, and it had a bunch of that old Dick Sprang art, and I just, something about it, it didn't seem like anything I'd ever seen Batman before, because, I mean, I was already kind of digging the Neil Adams stuff that
sure.
I had seen, but it was such a 180, but it worked, and, you know, I really kind of appreciated that style, and I was always a big fan of like guys like Dan DiCarlo and some of these other cartoonists and stuff like that. And it just, when the Batman cartoon hit, that really just reinforced that. So I've always kind of migrated towards those kind of artists. And yeah, he's definitely on the list of guys that I love. So
I'm glad you mentioned Dan DiCarlo, because that's one of the Archie artists. He created Josie and the Pussycats, and I was just in one of my favorite stores in Chicago, Chicago Comics. And they had that oversized collection of his Good Girl art. And
yeah, yeah.
Man, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, and I think they just did one on Bill Ward, too, is another guy.
Mm-hmm.
Just great. And, you know, and just I found a book, too, of just the old Playboy cartoons, too, which as a kid was extra awesome because you weren't supposed to be looking at them. But it just, I mean, that was, it's great. And even to this day, I mean, Playboy is one of the few magazines that still tend to rely on, you know, classic good old cartooning, which is great. So it kind of seems to be getting weeded out more and more.
No, you're right, but Hef is a fan. He's an old comic books fan and can really throw down with the Golden Age information, I think, with any collector and everything, because he was a collector too and still is. You know, he's the guy that pulled Jack Cole away from, you know, superheroes and stuff and hired him to do stuff for Playboy.
It's true, yeah, and the world's a lot better for it, I guess.
I would agree. Well, let's talk about Astronaut Dad, because I'm assuming, did you meet David Hopkins through Viper? Because I know he's done work for Viper as well.
He did, yeah. After I got to working with those guys, I kind of just, it was a company I wasn't completely familiar with, except for just, you know, I kind of saw Dead at 17, and I just like, wow, it's a book really stood out on the shelves for an indie book. And started checking out what else they were doing and, you know, going to their forum boards. And I noticed this writer named Dave Hopkins. I checked out his website. And the first thing I noticed is he did a mini comic book with a guy who I went to school with at MCAD, an artist named Brian Kelly. He just did a small indie book. And so I started contacting him about that. And we, you know, he's just like, oh, that's really cool. And he saw my stuff. And we had kind of been talking about Astronaut Dad because I guess he had the script done for about a couple of years. He just didn't quite have the right artist in mind yet. So I think when he saw my stuff, he sent me the script along with the comic book that he had done with Brian in the mail. And having read both of those things, I just was really blown away by his art. Just the way he kind of talked to the writer in a script was really cool, too. I hadn't really experienced that. And yeah, I just loved the story. And my dad had always, he had kind of worked in the aviation field, too, when I was a kid. And that was something I always kind of thought was fascinating. And just to tie it into kind of like a kid's story, you know, in tying it in with the stuff like The Right Stuff, that movie, I always thought that was great. But to add it kind of from a kid's perspective, I thought it was a really brilliant idea.
Well, and I can speak to being one of those kids that watched the Apollo missions because, God, I was 5 years old when we landed on the moon. And, you know, all the late 60s and early 70s Apollo missions, I mean, I was riveted to the TV. And, you know, it was immediately when I heard the concept and I saw the sample art and everything, I'm like, oh, you know, I told Christian Baranek from Silent Devil, who's packaging the book, I'm like, you guys had me at hello. I mean, it was, you know, yeah, I mean, it was great. I was thrilled. And your art absolutely fits. And it captures that, you know, early 60s period. Tell me, because, you know, what specifically, what period are we looking at? Are we looking at during the Mercury period, or is it a little bit later?
Yeah,
or?
It takes place in between, I believe, 1963. It's right around the Kennedy assassination. That actually plays a part in the first book and how things kind of change from there. So it is kind of in between there.
Like Mercury and Gemini, then?
Yep, exactly. And, you know, a few real-life characters will kind of show up in the book. For the most part, I think David wanted to kind of keep it a little separate and stuff like that because there are things we're kind of, you know, taking luxury on and stuff like that.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's right in there. So you nailed it. And I think when you were when you were talking about how it was right in your wheelhouse, I was always amazed when we first started doing Horrorwood how many people this kind of, you know, kitschy 1950s bad horror movies, like people just, oh, I love that stuff. And that's kind of more popular to find people that are really excited about that kind of thing. With Astronaut Dad, I never really knew that there was going to be this kind of reaction to that kind of stuff, too. I've always been a fan of, you know, when I was a kid, I mean, we had had a lot of astronaut spaceman toys and stuff like that, but I didn't really know how many people in the industry really kind of were, like, aficionados on this era and this period and this, you know, the storyline. So I was really excited to see that when I started sending images out of the book and what it was about to get the feedback we've gotten so far.
Oh, yeah. Well, and again, going back to when the space race was really at its height, think of all the and maybe you're not aware, but there was so much merchandising. I mean, Matt Mason was the Mattel G.I. Joe astronaut figure, basically.
My father had that down in the basement as a kid. in this little suitcase he has, all his old G.I. Joes. And, he doesn't have a lot of toys from his childhood, but I remember as a kid, I snooping down the basement opening up this, like, briefcase and just having, like, tons of G.I. Joes, and that was one of them, was this guy, and, yeah, when he found out he got those out, he gave me a, you know, don't you ever open those again, those are mine, but, yeah, I actually used kind of some of those as just looking them up just to kind of get some inspiration and stuff like that for character designs and just, you know, the space elements that I wanted to add into the book.
Well, yeah, that's what I was wondering. What did you use for your references to do the launch pad and mission control and all that stuff?
It was a lot of everything. A lot of Googling, just, you know, stuff from that era. Watching the right stuff. just watching anything kind of from Earth to the Moon.
Oh yeah,
series.
Love that stuff.
Yeah, and just kind of just checking on that. But I didn't. I mean, obviously my style is not super realistic, so I didn't want to be held down too hard on, like, you know, the technical aspect too much. So, I mean, there was everything from a little bit of the Kirby space stuff that he did in the Fantastic Four run is going to, you'll kind of notice stuff in the background.
Cool.
Like I said, even kind of some of the old G.I. Joe toys. The book cover is actually an old space adventure guy. We're using a photograph as opposed to actually doing a drawing for or an illustration and stuff like that for the cover. So,
oh, that's cool.
Just a lot of that old Wonder toys, you know, from the 50s and 60s, what kids would think is, you know, space adventure stuff is just what we're really kind of playing off of.
And the focus is on these kids, obviously, that whose parents, it's three different astronaut families, is that correct?
Yep, and two of them have kids, and they have just moved down to Texas, and Jimmy and Vanessa are the two kids, and it's all told from kind of their perspective of growing up, because I guess at the heart of the story is just how kids perceive their parents and, you know, growing up and, you know, from being the hero to hating them in their teen years to, you know, all this stuff that everybody's gone through with their parents and stuff like that. But it just so happens that in this story, the parents happen to be astronauts. So
how many years is the story going to focus on?
It's a couple, actually. David's actually doing a rewrite of the second book right now because mm-hmm. we're getting ready to start it. So I don't know if he's going to change it too much, but it'll be within a span of just a few years.
Okay.
So.
And how many pages are each volume? Because these are OGNs, original graphic novels. They're not...
Yep. It was originally, David wrote it as a six-issue graphic novel, a six-issue miniseries. As we kind of, you know, he wrote it so long ago that, you know, the trends have kind of changed in the, you know, the comic book industry. And, I mean, we did the miniseries for Horrorwood, and now we're doing the trade, and, you know, it works out great when, you know, there's a fan base and stuff like that, but I think we both were just kind of saying, like, you know what would be cool is after, like, seeing how the Northwest Passage did it and stuff like that.
Yes.
Was just to do these limited, you know, and a lot of Japanese manga books and stuff like that. They're just book series, and we just thought, oh, we could do two of them, but I think that there's a fitting end to each one, you know, that you wouldn't feel gypped at the end of, you know, this book and then starting up the next one. So it's going to be 280-page graphic novels.
Okay. That's really cool. Now, that's funny. You mentioned Northwest Passage, and your style reminds me a little bit of Scott Chandler's and that kind of cartoony but very cool style.
He kind of came in as a late inspiration a little bit. I'd already started working on the design concepts for Astronaut Dad. And, I just started the last few years going to comic book stores and just wanting to try new things. I don't think I've ever really left the mainstream books, and I never really will, but you just kind of crave something else. And, when you start doing your own book, you kind of start, checking out the other indie scene and stuff like that. And
sure.
I don't know how or why I totally had never heard of him or some of the books he had done, but I found him, and I just walked away from the store one day with Days Like This and I think Scandalous is the other one.
Scandalous, absolutely.
Yeah, and it's great. And it's, like I said, I'd already kind of started designing stuff, but he kind of came in, and I just helped redefine them. Like, I'm like, wow, I want to get to that level with this book. So I missed him in Chicago. I saw he was there this year at Wizard World Chicago. Unfortunately, I didn't make it. So I was hoping to come and show him some of the pages of Astronaut Dad and kind of tell him that, he kind of helped define what I wanted this book to look like.
Very cool. How is the scene up in Minnesota as far as the all the creators up there? I know there's a lot of them, and I know, like you said, you mentioned FallCon, which just happened. Do you stay in touch, and do you see a lot of the other creators up in the Twin Cities?
Yeah, it's very varied. I mean, we got a lot of indie guys, and then we got a lot of really well-known guys. Dan Jurgens is up here.
Okay.
Christopher Jones, the guy who does Batman Strikes with Terry Beatty.
Yep.
Is up there, and Terry's actually a huge inspiration on me. I picked up a book called Johnny Dynamite when I was a kid. It was him and Nick Allen Collins.
You bet.
Dark Horse Mini. And that was one of the big inspirations for the look of Horrorwood, actually. And then to have him not only come up here and live, but now he's actually teaching at MCAD, and I'm actually going there in a couple of weeks to kind of speak to, as a recent grad from the school, just, how things are progressing and stuff like that for his class is kind of cool. And then, Xander Cannon from Top Ten.
Yep.
And Gene Ha did live here, but he recently moved back, I think, to Chicago.
He's in our area. Yep.
Yeah, but Xander is very active, and they do the Art Conspiracy where they meet once a month, and I think it's kind of like the equivalent of what Scotty and Mike Norton and those guys do in Chicago with the Draw Nights and stuff like that. So it's pretty thriving. Tanya Del Rio, she recently moved, but she's on Sabrina, the Teenage Witch.
Oh, cool.
So there's a lot. Oh, and Ryan Kelly, I can't forget him, from Local with Brian Kelly, I'm sorry. It's going really, it's awesome, and the FallCon is always a great time to get together and just catch up and stuff like that, and it's a really laid-back show. There's the Midwest Comic Book Association, which runs it, and they just put on a really tight, two-day show, and they feed you steak on Saturday night and get you drunk and can't complain.
That's awesome. Now, it's funny you mentioned Terry Beatty. Johnny Dynamite, I gotta tell you, I have a full figure sketch of Johnny Dynamite that I had to have him do because the original, it was, I want to say, Pete Morrissey created Johnny Dynamite?
Yep.
And
I'm pretty sure you're correct there.
Yeah,
I have to look it up. But
his model for that was John Garfield, the great old 40s forgotten, actor who did things like Body and Soul and The Postman Always Rings Twice, the original.
Okay.
And
awesome.
And my dad was the spitting image of John Garfield. And I'm like, dude, I need a Johnny Dynamite because, that to me, that was like my dad as a private eye. So I was all over that. And he did a beautiful job for me. He's awesome. And I'm hoping him and Max, they keep talking about bringing back Ms. Tree. And I hope it happens.
Yeah. Well, if I remember correctly, and this could be speculation, but talking to Terry, I think they're the Hard Case Crime books that are out right now.
Yes.
I believe they're maybe doing a mystery book that way. So
wow.
I'm not 100% sure, and I don't want to announce it for him or anything like that. But I'm pretty sure it's already happening. So
well, that's something I'll have to bug Max Allen Collins about because I saw him in San Diego, and we kind of shot information back and forth. So he'll be popping up on Word Balloon, I think, in the next couple of months, and I'll bring that up. But back to you, Astronaut Dad comes out in November. It's in this month's previews. And is it being published through Image or Oni or?
It's being published through Silent Devil.
Because
I went through a different. Silent Devil runs an imprint called Littlefoot Press, and it's I think it's their shot at where they want to take their small press books that are all ages reads and stuff like that. And for whatever reason, I'm not 100% sure they just decided to go through Silent Devil. I don't know if it's just because, you know, with Silent Devil, they've got a couple books that, you know, the brand is a little bit more well-known and might give it, you know, a shot more with more readers and stuff like that.
So, sure. I just know they're in transition, too. I know that I talked to Christian and Adam in Chicago, and they told me that they're kind of pulling back and are going to be more of a studio in the future and more of an IP kind of lab and kind of package books and then find the suitable publishers rather than publish them themselves in the future.
Exactly, yeah. I think we were one of the last few titles that they agreed to publish under the Silent Devil banner. And I met Christian a couple of years ago, actually, at the Fall Con. He came up here and was just hanging out. And within one night, we just kind of hung out at the bar. And I was really blown away about his commitment. I mean, it just seems like every time we talk or I hear, he's always at some small convention in the middle of nowhere. But I give my hats off to the guy because, I mean, he's always out there hustling and promoting his company and stuff like that. And that's why when David called me and told me he had done some work previously with Silent Devil, and I was like, yeah, I think we're in good hands there because I know that Christian definitely has his, you know, ear to the ground on what's going on, and he's very friendly with a lot of retailers and all over the country, and so I knew it was a good place to take the book.
Yeah, he represents really good writers and artists, too. I mean, you know, guys like Chris Moreno, you know, have done quality work for him. And
I wasn't so sure about the Dracula vs. King Arthur book when I first heard the title. I was like, oh, it's going to be kind of cheesy. But when he came up to the Fall Con, he actually had the book, and we got talking. I think I swapped him some stuff, and he gave me a copy of the first issue. And it was not what I was expecting it to be, and the art blew me away. And I was like, wow, this is actually a really good book. And I had to tell people, I'm like, no, you know, to get past the title or whatever you think it's going to be, it's a really good book. And I stuck with it all four issues, and I thought Chris really knocked it out of the park, and I just kind of became a fan, and I met him in Chicago when Sidekicks came out. And, yeah, I'm really happy for what's going on with his career right now.
No, he's a great guy, and he's a hell of an artist, and he can do it all. He can do great, you know, cartoony stuff, and he can do great realistic looking superhero stuff. I mean, anything you need him to do, he can do it. So
he's got great sketchbooks too. We swap sketchbooks at the show, and that's a great thing I think about conventions now too, is that your stuff becomes currency in its own way.
So absolutely,
you end up getting a lot of great stuff. I remember we went to Wizard World Texas last year and meeting Cody Chamberlain, and he just kind of, we gave him all four issues of the book, and he gave me his sketchbook and a bunch of other stuff too, and it's just like, great, I didn't spend a dollar.
But got all this cool stuff
I'm coming back with, so.
That's excellent. What are your convention plans?
Well, I'm actually going to be back down in Wizard World, Texas, the weekend of November 17th and 18th, I believe. Then the Fall Con is actually coming up the first weekend in October here, so there'll be another one, and it's going to be a big one this year. I know Mike Oming's coming up, but Dan Barrington is coming up. Steve Rue's going to be here, so it's going to be a big year. I think it's their 19th year, so they're really kind of loading up with big-name creators this year. So, and after that, I really don't have too many plans until the second book, Astronaut Dad, will be out in time for San Diego next year. So me and the wife are going to go out to San Diego next year.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
Well, and then I hope to see you out there. I won't be at Fall Con or Wizard Texas, but I'm assuming that if not the finished first volume, you'll certainly have preview pages of that at both. And obviously, will it be out in time for Wizard World Texas?
I'm thinking that's probably where it's going to make its debut.
Cool.
Wizard World Texas. So I've actually got two more pages to do, pretty much, and then we'll send it off to the printer, so we'll have plenty of time. But I just keep getting all these freelance jobs there, the day job, that keep kind of getting sidetracked. So, but it'll be done, and it'll be there for sure. So, then, like I said, the second volume will be done for San Diego, so that's where it's going to make its premiere, and then we'll probably, I know Chicago's going to be before San Diego next year, so I think that's going to screw up things, but we'll be down in we'll be back in Chicago with at least volume one and probably a good preview of volume two.
Excellent, man. Well, and also you can check out Brent's art at his website, brentschoonover.com, and you'll see the first six Marvel Masterwork cards, examples of Horrorwood and other things, and as well as the first few pages of Astronaut Dad. So check it out. It's coming out from Silent Devil. It'll be out in November. It's in this month, September's previews. And Brent, thanks for taking a minute and talking to us.
No problem. Thanks, John.
That's Brent Schoonover. Don't forget, the artist has a big month coming up in November. Astronaut Dad debuts from Silent Devil. You'll want to pick it up. This episode of Word Balloon is sponsored by InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com. InStock Trades offers a huge selection of trade paperbacks, hardcovers, essentials, showcases, archives, absolute editions, omnibus editions, and more, all at up to 35% off with orders over $50 receiving free shipping. And don't forget to visit InStock Trades' sister site, Discount Comic Book Service, at dcbservice.com for all your pre-order needs. Major publishers are 40% off, and monthly specials are 45 to 75% off every month. And in fact, November's Astronaut Dad, at a very reduced rate, just $4.17 from dcbservice.com. So visit InStock Trades at InStockTrades.com and Discount Comic Book Service at dcbservice.com. Thanks a lot for listening. This is John Suntress. Don't forget, Word Balloon is available everywhere on the internet. We're at iTunes, Podcast Alley, Podcast Pickle, all the various podcatcher sites. Of course, we're at Newsarama.com. You can check out our MySpace page, MySpace.com/WordBalloon, our ComicSpace page, ComicSpace.com/WordBalloon. I'm always available for any questions or comments. You can reach me via email, john@WordBalloon.com. More interviews coming up in the month of September. You'll want to stay tuned. Until then, Word Balloon is a copyright feature of Shaky Productions, copyright 2007, all rights reserved.